All right, what's happening? You're listening to another episode of the NARcast, episode 166. What? And I got Danny and Tim of the four-piece San Diego rock band here hanging out with me on a lovely Thursday evening, guys. What's happening?
What's up, Gennard? What's up, San Diego? NARcast fans, what's
How's
up?
How's it going, brother?
Right, straight chilling, man. And behind the scenes, I was telling you guys that I actually kid-proof the apartment because the last time you guys were here, you know, your buddy Tim here.
That's right. Cut his hand open while he was
trying to open a beer.
Trying to open a beer.
Well, I have this carabiner that has a beer bottle opener, or I guess any sort of bottle, doesn't have to exclusively be beer. It's got a bottle opener built into it.
It could be soda pop.
And you would think he would know how to use it.
Right. Well, I know how to use it, except I caught it on the lip of the bottle itself. And it just sliced open, you know, for every 150 beers I open, one I get wrong.
Yeah, I guess so.
I am not a robot. Well, I'm a human being.
Well, like I said, I literally kid-proof my apartment today because I knew you guys were coming.
You kid wilderness proofed it.
Yes, I kid wilderness proofed it. I actually bought beer cans this time and not beer bottles. I know I'm drinking a Guinness blonde American lager that I got from Bonds the other day, but I actually bought some Modern Time canned beers just in case you wanted a brewski. Now you can just crack it open like it's a soda.
And we love the support of the San Diego breweries. Shout out to Modern Times for sure.
Damn right.
Much to your chagrin, I've got a wheat allergy, so I ain't gonna have none of that.
Oh,
but thank you very much for the offer.
No worries.
We actually threw a shout out a couple weeks ago to Modern Times on our Instagram, letting them know that just our band in general was a huge fan of their beer and trying to get them to let us play a show at their warehouse there in Midway, because it's right next to where
it's
we
practice.
It's
pretty awesome, yeah.
It's super
got a
rad.
Lot of space in there, too. Like, when you walk in and to the left there, you can totally have a band play there.
Yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, their liquor license doesn't allow them to have live music.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know, but we are trying to set up, like, a show, because I know, like, Liberty Station, you can go and, you know, you can have, like, kegs and stuff there. And I'm looking into trying to find, like, permits for music, because I want to set up, like, a kind of like a Modern Times, like, Kid Wilderness day.
Nice.
You know, like, maybe, like, closer to the summer months, like, when it starts getting warmer. I think that'd be kind of like
a cool thing to do.
Like, you know, local beer, local band, you know, like, you know, trying to help each other out and, you know, like, $5 for beer and then we'll play for free and, you know, just try to support the cause, you know?
I think that'd be a great event. I mean, good beer, awesome band, you know? I think that'd be totally, totally an awesome, epic night or day during the day if you do it on a weekend.
Afternoon type of evening, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You put people in a room with beer and live music, and good times will be had.
Yeah.
It is scientifically proven.
Yeah, that's
Richard
true.
Dawkins wrote a dissertation about that, I think.
Really?
No.
I was going to say, I don't even know who Richard Dawkins is.
I was like, are you sure? Do we need to like edit that out? No, I'm just messing with you.
don't edit out Richard Dawkins. He's going to be listening and be like, don't edit me out. I'm Richard Dawkins.
I'm Richard Dawkins.
I don't know who you are, Richard Dawkins.
Exactly.
All due respect. I mean, you know, no offense.
I came up with the theory of mimetics. You cannot misattribute things to me.
You're just loving the M words,
I know,
tonight,
right?
Mimetics, macabre.
Behind the scenes, he was talking about macabre and like what it meant to everybody in the room. But yeah, because so we're watching Freddy versus Jason.
That's right.
I'm actually breaking them in. They're versions of the NARcast, at least the podcast version of it. So I was telling them behind the scenes that I always play like a weird or random movie, and today I decided to play Freddy versus Jason, which is one of the greatest horror franchises together. Freddy, obviously, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees of Friday the 13th. So anyway, we got that in the background. And as I mentioned earlier, I had the whole band Kid Wilderness on the NARcoustics, which is why we brought up the whole idea of kid wilderness proofing the house so that it can be kind of a safe environment. But we actually had you guys on the NARcoustics because you guys won the 2014 Battle of the Bands over at Del Mar Fairgrounds.
That's right.
Which was awesome. And how does that feel, like being just winning something at such a large event like that?
It feels pretty good, and I think we definitely have gained, you know, a little bit more of a following as a result. You know, I think that kind of definitely opened us up to, you know, kind of a, you know, a different kind of crowd that we hadn't really gotten before. It kind of cemented us definitely as, you know, kind of one of the, you know, up and coming local bands. And, you know, there's San Diego, I think, is really an emerging scene as far as, you know, what's happening in, you know, in indie rock and just kind of like rock and roll revival. You know, I'm, you know, every contemporary that we play with, it feels like just, you know, has their own version of, you know, this kind of classic rock and roll sound that they're revamping. And I mean, I know that you're close friends with like Grizzly Business is totally doing that. I know you had Flags on last week. They're totally doing that. And I mean, it's kind of like this blend of like, you know, beach and indie and it's not quite pop, but it's not quite rock and roll. We're definitely more on the rock and roll side of that. We are like, I think no question, we are definitely more straight ahead, like, you know, British Invasion, Delta Blues style rock and roll.
Yeah.
Whereas I think, you know, maybe some of the other people in the scene are like, you know, more indie, but it's definitely a cool scene to be a part of. And I think that the Del Mar Fair really set us up for new opportunity, which is, you know, really what we want.
We want
opportunity.
Well, it not only did it open doors after the fact, it was a fantastic, just a fantastic milestone for us. But before that, getting a concrete goal to work on as a band, finally we had something, we had a goal, and we said to ourselves, this is a long shot. So we need to put our nose to the grindstone. We need to work on something. And we worked very hard to achieve this. And being able to relish in the fruits of our hard work really is rewarding as a band. And especially as such a young band at the time.
Yeah, we had only been playing together, what, like 6 months?
Yeah.
You're talking about prior to the
Battle of the Bands. We had gotten together in
November
of 2013.
Oh, wow.
That's, so we've been a band for just a little over a year now.
Dang, that is impressive, because I thought you guys had been around for a while, at least for 2 years.
No,
we... Well, I didn't know you guys were that new.
Yeah, we're really new, just as a group. We used to be High Noon, but we didn't have Tim, our bass player, and we didn't have Kevin, our drummer. And it was just me and our lead guitar player, Riley Noonan. And when we were High Noon, we were kind of more like a punk band. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. We played a couple live gigs, but, you know, we didn't really, like, have any direction.
Yeah.
And as soon as Tim and Kevin... came on, this, you know, all the material that Riley and I had stored up that, you know, our other band members weren't necessarily opposed to playing, but, you know, it didn't really like fit the vibe of the band that we were at that time. All of a sudden came together, and, you know, Tim's style of, you know, kind of prog rock, jazz, you know, and dare I say, Rush influence. and Kevin's background of being a jazz drummer kind of, you know, pushed us in a really cool direction that has definitely, you know, shaped our sound.
Yeah. So it works. So, like, having different influences or backgrounds of music, like you mentioned, with, you know, the drummer having, like, that jazz feel, and then you put all that into the oven, and then you get that solid, nice vibe that I get, that you actually get from Kid Wilderness. And you come up with all this amazing music. And I think that having a variety of different tastes in music and put it together actually worked for you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, seriously.
We call it the hauntingly familiar and intriguingly fresh.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So let's go back to the Battle of the Bands, because this is because it was an awesome performance that I saw.
Thank you.
And like, so how do you put your style? Because I know there were some rules to Battle of the Bands. You had, I think it was it a Beatles song?
We had to incorporate a Beatles song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to keep it in
under like in, 3 minutes or something.
No, it was 10 under
minutes.
10 minutes.
It was under 10 minutes. Yeah. And at the time, the constraint included setting up and tearing down on the stage. All of that had to be under 10 minutes or else points were going to be deducted.
And we actually practiced setting up and tearing down in practice. Like,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Like, no joke, like, we practiced, like, getting amps in position and, like, turning on and plugging in and, like, playing. And, like, we timed it. Must have been 10 times.
We timed it quite a few times. And surprisingly, it came out to about 9 minutes and 39 seconds on average. So, you know, and praise the Lord that they relaxed the rules and gave us 5 extra minutes to set up and tear down. But we were prepared because we saw a goal. You know, we saw an outcome that was very well worth all the effort that we put into it. If those are the rules, so be it. We'd be damned if that was going to keep us from reaching this.
Not only was the song choices you guys picked, because if I can remember correctly, you guys had the crowd involved. Like, you had the crowd clapping.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you guys mixed up a whole bunch of tracks, right? And played.
We did. We did 2 of our own. And we sandwiched the Beatles song in between. And actually, we did kind of a medley of 2 Beatles songs.
Yeah,
which I don't think anyone else did.
Nope.
So we led off with our song, Hey Little Girl, which is, you know, just an upbeat, you know, rocker. And actually, I just sent that to you, like, right before we came over here. It's kind of like... it's the single for the EP that we're releasing. We've decided that Hey Little Girl is the single. So we went from that song, which is, you know, about, like, you know, 2 minutes 40 seconds, you know, just like a good, you know, solid length, catchy, gets in your head, into I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it in 3/4 time. Which is not the time signature that the Beatles do it. They do it in 4/4. So we did it in a really unique time signature, and then we blended it into I Want You, She's So Heavy, and then back into I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then and then from there we went into Too Many a Time, which was the song that we did for Narcoustics. Yeah. Yeah.
And the vibes of all of those songs is just they're so eclectic that it's not consistent. One of the cool things was that it was without stopping. Our entire set had not a breath in it.
A lot of energy.
You know, we felt psychologically, we took a scientific approach to this and figured what is going to be the best possible course of action, and that's what we determined. But if you look at the progression of the songs, it goes from a sort of jazzy number. Hey Little Girl, for those who don't know, it starts out with a hi-hat and a bass walk, and it sounds really jazzy. It kind of sounds like the Frasier theme song. And then...
It's a good way to look at it, I guess.
I guess a little bit, but right up until the electric guitar comes
in. Yeah, right up until the electric guitar comes in, then it takes on a rockabilly feel, and it wears multiple hats throughout. And then... you know, we're going into these Beatles songs that everybody knows, but we've got a little bit of a twist on it, some signature, and we change to She's So Heavy, which is a blues song, pretty much. It's really heavy and hard-hitting. And then we go back into a little bit of I Want to Hold Your Hand, and finish out with the anthemic Too Many a Time, which, incidentally, turned out not bad.
I thought it was awesome.
In my humble opinion.
It was an
opinion.
Awesome present. Like, you guys, that was the only time I've seen you guys live. I've been slacking on going to a lot of shows these days. But, and I hear this all through social media all the time. Like, people, because I know, like, my buddy Connor and my friend Lisa Lane, they know you guys. I think you guys are friends with them.
Yeah.
And I even saw a post recently from somebody that went to the Soda Bar show recently and was like, oh my God, you guys literally rocked the house at Soda Bar.
Yeah.
So that's got to feel great.
It does. And I mean, you know, we're all doing this, you know, seriously. This is, you know, a path that, you know, we've all kind of chosen individually and as a group have kind of, you know, looked at each other and kind of go, okay, you know, we definitely have something to offer to this music scene. You know, let's give it a legitimate shot. So, you know, when we do have the opportunity to put on a show, you know, we're musicians, you know, before we step on stage, and then we become entertainers, because that's what people are there to see. People want to see a show. And I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, oh, let's be shticky and, you know, like have a gimmick. I mean, like, let's play really awesome music with some crazy high energy so people can get involved. Because I know when I go see a show, you know, that's what I want as a fan. I want to see, you know, great music that has a lot of energy that I can then go to my friends and just be like, you know, so jacked up on, you know, even 4 days later, just be like, oh my gosh, man, I saw this band.
Yeah.
They were so awesome. They had so much energy. You know, it just, it makes you feel like you're a part of it as a fan when you have that. And, you know, simultaneously, when we feel that back from fans, like we did after our Soda Bar show, you know, it fuels our energy to go out and do it, you know, even more and do it, you know, bigger and better than we did it the last time. So, definitely the energy is a priority for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the showmanship, definitely a priority.
Okay. And that is our agenda completely. You know, a lot of bands nowadays will have a political or a religious or a social agenda.
I just want to go out.
We just want to rock super hard. One of the marks of a great band, in my opinion, which is why I listen to a lot of prog rock and jazz and different things, is that it opens my mind to new musical concepts that I didn't think possible. And that's something that I consider a priority for myself, to be involved in a project and to have found a group of guys that not only I could be great friends with, but who challenge me musically and will make music that, in my opinion, sounds good. It's extremely fulfilling. And if we can make a living out of that, I have no complaints whatsoever.
All right, so Danny, so now that we're getting into the subject about the purpose of the band, now let's go ahead and dissect the new material that you guys are planning to release this year.
Yeah.
So let's dig right on into it. How's the songwriting? What's the songwriting process like?
So the songwriting process is a combination of all of us. You know, the songs aren't written, you know, by one person. They're written by us as a band. You know, I'll come up, you know, with, you know, a chord progression that I really like, you know, with lyrics, and sometimes we'll keep, you know, that exact same chord progression with those lyrics, and, you know, Tim will fill in, you know, a ripping bass line, and Riley will fill in his, you know, shredding guitar solos, and Kevin, of course, will, you know, lay down some sort of beat that a lot of times challenges the initial kind of vibe that I was feeling on the song, which I really like. I mean, a lot of times I'll bring in a song and it'll be, you know, kind of, you know, slow ballad-like, and the beat that Kevin lays down on it, you know, is just maybe a little bit faster. It pushes the tempo a little bit, and it kind of forces, you know, what would have been, you know, kind of like an acoustic song to become an electric song. And we all write material, so that's the same process for every single one of us. You know, like Tim will bring in a progression with lyrics that he really likes and, you know, will, you know, run with it. And same with Riley. Riley will bring in something. The only one of us that doesn't write right now is Kevin.
Lazy bastard.
Well, no, he's got a couple acoustic songs that I think are actually pretty good. He wrote an acoustic song for his mom on Mother's Day that I actually give him a lot of props for, because it's really good, and he definitely shows some serious potential as far as songwriting. But, you know, his focus is drums.
Oh, drums. That's right. Yeah.
Technically speaking, he's a monster.
Yeah,
he was doing stuff last night.
Yeah, we had band practice last night. It was incredible. Kevin, I just want to give a shout out to our drummer Kevin, because he was feeling a little under the weather tonight. But I mean, our band took a serious turn when he became a part of it, and I know that our band wouldn't be what it is without him. And definitely, I mean, the hard work that he puts in to making it happen is definitely doesn't go unnoticed by us. And
Now, did you know him prior to the band, or how did you guys approach him to be like, hey, you want to be part of?
So, my girlfriend actually and I were having dinner at California Kebab, which is now Amplified Ale Works, and they've got communal tables there. And she knew that I was, you know, looking for a drummer for our band, and we were sitting next to Kevin and his friend. And I, you know, got up to, you know, go get our order or something, and I came back to the table, and she like started nudging me and being like you know, giving me like the nod, like, hey, look over there, like, try to listen to what this guy's talking about. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, he's a drummer, like check it out. And I was like, oh yeah, like, my girlfriend has got my back, like, nice. Talk about like
support.
A supportive, yeah, girlfriend, yeah. Like, you know, of like a rock and roll, you know, dream. Like, and, you know, I started kind of chatting up Kevin, and I was like, you know, you should come jam with us. And he was like, dude, I'd love to. I've been looking for a new music project. And he jammed with us one time at my mom and dad's house up in Carmel Mountain Ranch, where we were hosting a lot of our band practices at the time, because we didn't have a rehearsal space. And it was just the chemistry was instant.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was
love at first beat.
So you were already in the band then before Kevin got into it.
Yeah,
then.
We had probably two practices.
Tim had been in the band 2 weeks. Stole Tim from one of our contemporaries, the Saline Solutions.
That's correct.
And I love those guys. They're great musicians. But when I heard Tim play a gig, I was like, I nudged our lead guitar player Riley. I was like, dude, we gotta steal this bass player because he's so good. You know, he's so rad. So we asked Tim to join our band, and he very graciously accepted. And then Kevin was about 2 weeks after that.
And then how did you and Riley form High Noon with the other people? Or was it a duo at the time? Was it you two?
Well, Riley was playing a lot with his... Riley and I both got home from college around the same time, and that was like two summers ago.
Okay.
And so it'll be 3 summers ago this coming up summer. So, you know, we had talked for a long time about getting together to jam, because we went to high school together. And, you know, we finally got together to jam, and, you know... we were all, you know, kind of living in the PB area. I was living, you know, kind of in Bay Park at the time.
Yeah.
And
shout out to PB.
Shout out to PB.
Garnett
Avenue. We started jamming with Riley, and Riley's older brother was our drummer, and his brother's friend was our bass player, and their names were Matt Kogel on bass and Charlie Noonan on drums. And we became High Noon, and, you know, we played, I think we played like, you know, 5 or 6 shows, yeah, as High Noon, all, you know, local PB stuff. And then Charlie stepped away from the band to pursue his career goals, and then Matt kind of fell away, you know, being that Charlie was kind of his buddy, and, you know, he just had his own agenda, yeah, to kind of, you know, go do things and be a human being, and we totally respected that. And so we, you know, kind of circulated through other drummers and bass players, and, you know, never really kind of found a fit until we found Tim and Kevin.
Nice. Awesome. And now you guys are in the studio recording how many tracks?
We're doing, it'll be 8 tracks that we release, but it's Hey Little Girl is going to be its own separate single. Okay. So it'll be one single and then a 7-track EP.
Okay, cool. And let's go ahead, and I know we're talking about the songwriting process, how everybody will bring something to the table, and you guys will mold it into what a Kid Wilderness song would be. And so, how many songs collectively do you think you guys have? Is it 8 songs total, or you have more than 8? And then...
Do you want to field this one?
You know, I wouldn't... I don't think either of us have computed that amount into a discrete quantity of songs, especially since we have a lot of songs that are just fractions. They're just shells that have a lot of work to be done. And that's what we do in the studio. We work on songs. But if you put us in a stage and we're only supposed to play original material, I'd say realistically we've got about 2 hours,
nice,
of consistent, continuous original material, plus the uncanny ability to completely make things up. As a musician, improvisation has been...
You guys are really good at that.
The main thing that we practice. But the weird, strange thing is that Danny improvises lyrics, and they rhyme. And so we'll play these songs.
I'm a poet, and I didn't even realize it.
Can you rap, too?
I can't rap.
Kevin can.
Our drummer can rap.
Okay.
Our drummer can rap.
That's one thing that I forgot, is that Kevin has an entire repertoire of these lightning-fast raps that is so bizarre, but it's hilarious. The raps are very good. He's extremely talented, and he can rap and drum at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So every now and then during practice, he'll bust a drum solo, and he'll be just spitting fiery rhymes, and I'm always flabbergasted.
That's crazy.
We have about... I actually do know the number because I typically am putting together set lists frantically right before shows because, you know, the vibe changes. Yeah, you know, you got to change up your set list depending on the show. We have 22 finished songs.
Okay.
That's
have 22 finished songs.
That sounds like about 2 hours worth of music
and
right there.
And we have about... another 20 that are unfinished, but pretty close. It kind of is just, it's all kind of there in the collective memory bank. And
it's all in your head, so to speak.
So
if you want it to, you guys could release an LP, but you guys obviously wanted these seven tracks to represent the band, right?
Yeah, as our first kind of go into the studio, we chose these seven because A, they were some of our favorites, and B, we felt that they reflected the sound that we were going for. When we made that decision, we've written some stuff since that, you know, we kind of, you know, obviously if you could go back in time, you know, you'd say, okay, I want this song, but which isn't to take away from any of the material. I mean, I don't think, you know, any of these songs are slouches, so to speak, and there's a reason we chose them. It's because, you know, they really represent us as a band. But, you know, we're so excited for, you know, the new material that we've been writing, and, you know, we play a lot of it at, you know, our shows. And really, it's just going to boil down to the next time we have the opportunity to go into a studio and lay some of it down. Because, you know, none of us are turning off the, you know, the songwriting spigot anytime soon. And I think that as we play more as a band, you know, it's only going to get more and more refined and, you know, easier to kind of craft that, you know, niche sound that, you know, describes us as a group. Yeah. So
as a group, we... are like a soup that just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter. You know, it's like a...
I like that.
It's like a spicy arranged marriage. And as we spend more and more time with each other, we get to know each other more and get to realize our particular sounds, what each one is good with. And over the next 20 or 30 years, I think that is going to work very well in our favor. With coming up with, and I mean, logistically speaking, it's going to get a lot easier to get in the studio, say, hey guys, we need to record this right now. Let's do it. And in the future, things will be better. Obviously, right now, we've all got full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Some of us have girlfriends. Some of us don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always convenient. Like I mentioned to you before, getting the four of us together right now is like herding cats.
Yeah.
Even if we were handcuffed together, you couldn't get the four of us in the same room for very long. But as musicians, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And so some of the songs, they're eventually we've got to get them down onto something, some sort of data.
Yeah, I have so many questions for you guys. So, first of all, before I ask you this question, 30 years from now, you guys are going to be veterans at what you guys do, at your craft, your skill. And I'm going to be honored to be like, I was interviewing these cats before they were even releasing their first LP.
Yeah.
Let you alone. I'm going to be like, I don't even know if I'm going to be doing a podcast in 30 years, but I can be like, wow, like they're on their 20th studio album right now. 30 years from now, that's impressive.
Well, what I hope is that, you know, in 30 years, we're all holograms and, you know, you're hosting the Grammys and you can be introducing us for our induction into the Grammy Hall of Fame or something like that.
That'd
you know, not to not to set the bar too high, but you know, that's true. Yeah.
Headlining Madison Square Garden, Kid Wilderness, Tupac, and Duke Ellington. Sold out.
Or maybe like two seats left. You know, it doesn't have to be sold out. There can be like two seats.
Yeah.
And you got to figure some people are quite large. They'll have to buy two seats.
Yeah, you know. But especially 30 years from now, and there's no telling where the obesity level is going to be at. But so, all right, we talked about the songwriting process. What about lyrically? Like what's the mindset of Danny when it comes to writing the lyrics?
So the mindset of Danny when it comes to lyrics is there's a couple things that drive me. My relationships with people that I've known from my past and from my present, and my relationship with God.
Awesome.
And those two things are what drive me. I was very fortunate enough to have gotten sober after struggling with a drug and alcohol addiction. And that happened at age 19.
Wow.
And,
super young.
And really, really lucky to kind of go through, you know, kind of a high speed, you know, maturation process in terms of like kind of realizing, you know, what it took to, you know, kind of get your life in order to be a real human being, which, you know, at age 19, you don't really know, you know, how to do that anyway,
right.
Let alone, you know, when you've got kind of, you know, a big obstacle in your way. And so a lot of my songwriting, you know, comes through, you know, the spiritual, or at least lyrically, the spiritual growth that I experienced there, the emotional growth, you know, and like I said, past relationships with people, and, you know, the great moral and mental support of all my mentors and family and friends that helped me through that. So that's really like what I draw from, just because, you know, it's my biggest life experience.
Yeah.
So that's what I draw from.
And would you say from your experiences, it's not trying to promote the negativity, but it's more uplifting?
Right. It's
like uplifting in a spiritual manner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the last thing I would want our songs to do is come across as preachy, because I'm not in the rock and roll game, you know, to change people's minds. I'm in the rock and roll game to rock really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lyrics, you know, if you listen to them, every single one of them, you know, conveys some sort of story. You know, I try to do it somewhat poetically, just because I really like it when songs, you know, kind of are just barely specific enough to kind of like let you craft the story around your experience. I think the best lyrics are open-ended and allow you to put yourself in whatever story the lyricist is painting. So that you can then go, oh, hey, that identifies with this period in my life.
Right.
And so, you know, not trying to be, you know, preachy or anything like that. But, yeah, definitely trying to promote, like, you know, the uplifting, you know, fun, positive side of life. Even, you know, in, you know, songs, you know, that seem like they're, like, weird. You know, we have a song on the EP called Devil, and, you know, it's
about a woman.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about a girl that gives you the runaround, you know, and it's, you know, it's like silly. It's a throwback to the, you know, kind of, you know, blues thematic element where, you know, a lot of blues singers, you know, compared, you know, their woman to the devil and just like, oh, the devil's got a hold on me, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's kind of a thematic throwback to that. You know, with a little bit of my own, you know, personal relationship experience, you know, mixed in.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something, you know, that everyone can identify with. But, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, it's set to kind of like a rockabilly, you know, style of song. So I think at some, you know, point it's, you know, fun and, you know, energetic and, you know, people, you know, want to kind of get up and move to it.
Yeah.
And I think in that respect, it, you know, kind of hits that uplifting point.
Nice. And let's dissect the single. that we're going to play tonight. So, like, lyrically, what do you want the listener to get out of that one? Or at least explain what...
Well, the song's called Hey Little Girl, and it's about romance at first sight. It's, you know, seeing someone and just being like, whoa, that is the real deal right off the bat. Like, I got to go up and talk to you and see what your situation is, because you got it going on and I need to be a part of that. You know, so
is this like a real experience for you, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, romance at first sight is something that I am guilty of. You know, and I think that my girlfriend might agree with that. I think that, you know, she and I kind of both experienced that when you know, we met, and you know, couldn't be happier that, you know, we have each other. So, Hey Little Girl is, you know, kind of just one of those songs that just kind of says, like, hey, man, if you see someone and, you know, you think, you know, that person might be someone to go talk to, make the move. You know, go for it. Yeah. It's definitely a go for it kind of a song.
Nice.
You know, and what's the worst that can happen?
That's true. She can just say no.
She can just say no. Anything beyond that is... mean.
Yeah, but unless you unlikely. Deserve it.
Unless you deserve it.
Right. Well, the moral of that story is always be a gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta always be a gentleman.
If you're going up to say, hey, how's it going? Like, hey, what's your name? Like, the worst thing that can happen in that situation is maybe she gives you the cold shoulder and be like, hey, my name is whatever, and then she just kind of standoffish. Yeah, that's the worst that can happen in that situation.
My name is whatever. I've got a boyfriend. Leave.
Yep. That's it. And you're done.
But I mean...
Now, you guys were saying that this isn't even going to be on the EP. This is just going to be treated as a single?
Right. We're treating that as a single. And the reason being is we recorded that in a separate session than we recorded the rest of the stuff. So it has a different sound.
Okay.
Yeah. So because their, you know, recording setup and their, you know, technique of mixing is different than the recording technique of and mixing technique of... the person that we've been recording our EP with.
Do you mind me asking where the EP's being recorded?
The EP was recorded in a couple different locations with the help of our good friend Paul McClendon.
Awesome. Big shout out to Paul.
Yeah, huge shout out to Paul. Yeah. He has been instrumental in, you know, kind of helping us, you know, figure out what we want, you know, our EP to be, you know, representative of us. You know, he was instrumental in, you know, kind of helping us, you know, pick the songs to showcase ourselves. So he's definitely got a good ear for sound, and our sound in particular. So we've been really lucky to have him. But, you know, that has been, you know, kind of, you know, a longer process where Hey Little Girl happened in, you know, 3 hours.
Oh, wow. It was a live recording, which is a foreign concept to me, but
I also think it's a forgotten concept.
Yeah, because I think that's what people used to do back in the day.
Yeah,
at least layer your main track,
right?
And then you maybe can go back for timing's sake and go back and redub certain instruments if you have to.
All we did with that one, we took a couple of takes. I think we probably did about 4 takes of the song. And chose one of them, and then Riley went over and dubbed a little more guitar over that. And we dubbed the vocals.
Right,
yeah.
So it was definitely, you know, a live recording. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great song. We're super proud of it.
Cool, awesome.
And actually, our friend Tim Piles, shout out to Tim Piles.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim Piles over there at 91X now.
Yeah, over at 91X.
91X Louse.
He went home, dude.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, back to 91X. Yep. And we were one of his, like, last local 94.9 shows.
Nice.
Before he went back to 91X, and he debuted this song, Hey Little Girl, on his show, and you know, we're still super happy with it, and we want more people to hear it. So,
and we'll play this at the end of the podcast. I just want to go ahead and touch some more bases on the EP, and we can wrap up here soon. If there's anything else y'all want to talk about, But I mean, other than that, I there was a couple questions I wanted to ask.
Shoot.
I don't want to backtrack back to what we were talking about earlier, but I'm just a little curious to know about the band name. Like, was there a thought? What's the thought process behind Kid Wilderness?
We spent a lot of time when we decided that we were going to phase out High Noon and adopt a new nomenclature for ourselves as a new group, a new set of guys with new music. First of all, the band name had two conditions that it needed to follow. Actually, three conditions. First and foremost, can't be stupid. All right, we're grown ass men, and we're gonna have a band name that is not childish. So that's number one. Can you agree with that?
It's absolutely correct.
The rule number two, it couldn't be more than four syllables, because then it starts getting hard to remember. You know, we can't name ourselves Bundesausbildungsförderungsgesetz, because it's not very easy to remember or spell. And third thing, and this was really important to us, especially in this day and age, is it had to go through a comprehensive Google test. If you Google the name, this band name band, it doesn't pop up any Facebook pages, because right. You know, we don't want to encroach on anyone's territory. We don't want to make things weird. And
in other words, it had to be unique.
It had to be unique and original. And one of the hardest and most frustrated things is that we came up with a laundry list of the most wicked band names, just the coolest names, and they were all taken. And even
some variation thereof.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't always that the exact name, you know, we wanted was necessarily taken, as much as that, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was, you know, completely integrate our band name so that, you know, we were findable online.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wanted, you know, everything, you know, to be comprehensive and the same, and, you know, so, you know, Facebook, you know, we wanted to be facebook.com/whatever our band name was, Instagram, whatever our band name was, Twitter, whatever our band name was, you know, and that's the way it is right now. It's like facebook.com/kidwilderness,
yep.
You know, make Instagram, Kid Wilderness, yep. Twitter, Kid Wilderness, you know, it's like everything is at Kid Wilderness or /kidwilderness, you know, barring whatever kind of, you know, social media site you're on. So, we wanted to be findable. You know, because in, you know, a wilderness of music online, you know, we wanted to kind of be, you know, found.
Yeah.
So that's partially where the idea of wilderness came from.
Okay.
Is, you know, there was a wilderness of music, and
I like that.
You know, we, you know, when you're kind of searching, you know, through the wilderness of music, you find, you know, us, this, you know, this young band, you know, this group of kids.
Like
so,
that.
We're Kid Wilderness.
That's cool.
Well, and that was also the name of a song that we had, because we were coming up with a bunch of names. You know, we went by portmanteau for one show, which, if you don't know, a portmanteau is two words put together, combined. It's sort of like a contraction.
Like ain't or y'all.
Oh, okay.
I would consider that more of a, I guess it could work as a portmanteau as well. More y'all.
Yeah, like you all. Y'all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, semantics. I just thought it was a cool sounding word. But it's taken. That's a band from Ithaca, New York. Shout out to Portmanteau for stealing her name. What's up, guys? you know, we were thinking about all sorts of names, even some idiotic ideas like Celtic Thunder is one we played around with.
Featherhead was thrown in the mix.
Featherhead. And the Moon.
That sounds like a horror movie.
Speaking of horror movie, I feel like my eyes are burning. What are you subjecting me to? This is just incredible.
It's Freddy versus Jason. Come on, man. That's why it's on. Ed McGee is on fire, a little bit.
And he's slashing people with a machete at a party in the middle of a cornfield.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, so we had this song called Kid Wilderness, and I brought up to the guys. Yeah, we had this song called Kid Wilderness. I brought up to the guys, hey, we might as well just, what would you guys think about naming our band that? And it ended up sticking to the three of us. And then Riley caught on.
Riley finally got around to it. Sure.
So, I mean, and whether we like it or not, that's our band name now. The legality of changing it was so difficult. There were so many hoops to jump through. That's our band name. We're sticking with it, and eventually, it, you know, right now it feels good. It feels like a glove. Over time, like a nice pair of shoes, it will.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. It's unique and it stands out. Kid Wilderness. You know, it's just nice. Like you said, it's under four syllables, and it's just nice to be able. It just rolls off the tongue.
It's got a couple hard syllables in it, so there's no mistaking. Yeah. You know, even if you were to slur it, it's kind of still recognizable.
Right. Morphologically speaking,
than four syllables because it's actually four syllables.
It is four syllables. Yeah.
There's no more than four syllables.
Feels like three syllables. Yeah. Doesn't it? It's kind of got like that Led Zeppelin effect, it's like Zeppelin is actually three syllables,
but it feels like two.
And we also met with a marketing exec who helped us solidify what do you guys want your image to be, what do you want to do, and he agreed with us. He looked at the name Kid Wilderness. He said, "Take it and run."
That meeting is again when I, you know, kind of brought up the idea of, you know, in a wilderness of music, you know, we're just like kind of like a group of kids that, you know, wants our music to be heard. And, you know, he, you know, again, you know, being a marketing guy and, you know, understanding, you know, that music is, you know, a form of storytelling, you know, really enjoyed that concept. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I had thought about when I was writing the song that Tim is referencing. When he was talking about, you know, just picking that as a band name, you know, it wasn't an arbitrary choice. He and I had kind of discussed it a little bit, and, you know, going on that motif, it just fit. You know, it was like one of those things where it was always kind of there right in front of us, and then, you know, props to Tim for, you know, having the courage to kind of suggest it and kind of say, like, hey, guys, like, this might be it. You know, it's been right in front of our noses. You know, let's kind of see what this sounds like. And I mean, I felt it right away, and I know Tim felt it right away, and you know, Kevin and Riley you know, may have been hesitant like the first, you know, day or two, but I think it didn't take long for any of us to realize, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, this is definitely, you know, our name. You know, it's definitely, you know, it feels like us. It feels like the four, you know, friends that, you know, are musicians and have a band together.
Nice. It sounds, you know, what you said, it's unique.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the main cue. Because one thing I was thinking of is the band Arctic Monkeys. Nowadays, they're widely respected. When I first heard them in 2006, I was thinking, what a stupid name. And then I listened to their music, and they rip. And now it would be weird if they were named anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it.
Now they're one of the most popular bands on the planet.
Yeah. Shakespeare said, "What's in a name? What is a rose other than that which is sweet smelling?" Names
are
arbitrary.
As it turns out, the answer is you were going to say arbitrary. I was going to say everything. See, there you go. There you go.
You know, we cannot stop disagreeing.
Yeah,
and it is driving us apart. We are having a Fleetwood Mac rumors moment already. Less than 2 years into the... Oh, gosh. What the hell?
We're still watching Freddy versus Jason.
Oh.
Now that we dissect the name and the meaning behind the name, what about the new EP? What's the meaning behind that title? Is it Kinderwalden?
It's Kinderwalden. Oh, and okay. It is
spelled Kinderwalden, for anyone who is wondering. All one word with a capital W. Kinderwalden.
All one, no, two words.
Apparently, it's two words.
Right. Yeah.
Still with a capital W, though.
Capital K, capital W.
It's two words, though.
Okay, yes.
Two words. I was just thinking, I was sitting in my chair and thinking as I do, and I was trying to translate our name into German because Kevin and I speak German for whatever reason. And I was thinking, and you know, the original translation of Kindwilden which is the direct translation to Kid Wilderness, didn't really sound good. I figured that the Kinderwalden, which translates to Kids Woods, okay, it makes no sense in German, but it sounds nicer in English. And I just thought it would be fun as an EP to throw out some weird, random, eclectic title.
That's cool, though.
It's kind of a cool way to self-title the EP.
Yeah.
Without self-titling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
Yeah. So you're like, hey, what does that mean? You can be like, oh, it just means kids in the woods.
Yeah.
Or in the wilderness. Right. Pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
That's dope. I like that. That's creative.
It's kind of like Kid Wilderness, but you know, not really.
Quite.
It's not quite.
Yeah.
It's not quite self-titled, which opens us to the possibility of still self-titling something. Yeah.
That's
further
true.
Down the
if,
road.
If we ever run out of creativity, we cannot think of
an
album name. I've got a notebook that is filled cover to cover with album names, and that is it. I can't write lyrics to save my life, but names of things, that's a little bit easier.
We also have a running joke in the band, because it was so hard to kind of find a name, is like, you know, maybe titling, you know, an album in the future, like things we almost named our band, mm-hmm, you know, and like having every track of the album be like something we almost named our
band.
Yeah.
Like that, like, New York band.
Like the, yeah,
Portmanteau. Celtic Thunder.
Celtic Thunder, yeah. Featherhead. Yeah. Calm Down Zoe.
Fluorescent Puke.
Calm Down Zoe.
Yeah.
That's one we actually
seriously
considered.
That was a serious contender. Calm Down Zoe.
And there was one that was Monkey something.
Dance Monkey.
But that sounds a bit pejorative, you know. It harkens to a scene in Zoolander, for me at least, where he's dressed like a monkey and the photographer is saying, "Dance, monkey, dance." And it kind of has a mix of different imagery,
yeah,
which I both like and dislike. But I guess that's what good art is supposed to do. It's supposed to create a visceral
truth,
gut feeling.
That's true, yeah. So there's no expect. You guys are still in the process of maybe thinking like exactly when you want to release the EP. And
We want to do it, you know, sometime in the next, you know, month or so. But being that it's our first crack at an EP and at a recorded collection of work, we want it to be, you know, we want it to be right. We want it to be, you know, something that we can, you know, look at and say, yeah, this is something that we, you know, definitely took the time on and, you know, made it exactly, you know, what we wanted it to be. You know, in terms of the mix, in terms of the recording part was easy. You know, the recording part was, you know, these are all songs that we've played, you know, over and over and over again. So, you know, as far as like people going in to record their parts and stuff like that, you know, not, you know, a lot of time, but, you know, as far as then, you know, sitting down and saying like, okay, well, do we want to turn the acoustic guitar up here, or do we want to turn, you know, Riley's lead guitar up here, or do we want to accent the bass here in this little thing? It's like, you know, those are the cool little details that you get to, you know, work on with recorded material that you don't necessarily get to on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why the music is, you know, such a duality and such a cool art form, because you have the live performance where everything comes together and works simultaneously to amplify the song, whereas, you know, in the recorded part you have, you know, the small accents that get to speak. You know, it's the group dynamic on stage and, you know, the small individual effort on the record.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to be intentional about everything that we put on the album.
Right.
Because it's our baby. We've got to make it perfect in every way. Obviously, that's a very Herculean task, but we are trying to create something that we're satisfied with.
And I wouldn't say perfect as much as correct. And the reason I would make that distinction is that perfect, you know, and Riley and I talk about this all the time, that perfect takes away from the human element. You know,
that
you
is
want that
true.
Human element
right.
of, you know, it isn't 100% on time because we didn't want it to be.
Right. Yeah, we actually, like, Kevin and I came in for the record, and we laid out the drums and the bass first before anything else. And we found that when we played along to a metronome, it was harder to follow than doing it by our own volition. So we took away the metronome, the click track, the backing track, and we just said, let's go in dry.
So just first, just straight up drums and bass. And
just
then...
straight up drums and wow. bass and using no metronome but the human brain.
Wow.
And that I feel, you know, it just adds a little bit, you know, like you said, human element. So I redact my statement of perfect because I realize that's not the diction. It's
yeah.
It's just correct.
Yeah,
it's
and you
about
want it to sound like Kid Wilderness,
right,
too.
Right.
You don't want to have an album that doesn't sound like you when
right.
you're playing live.
Exactly.
Plus, this is the first material that's actually going to be in studio material that people are going to hear for
right.
the first time because you don't even have any songs recorded, right?
No, we had a Hey Little Girl's the only one.
Well, other than that one,
and again,
yeah.
right, and again, we haven't released that like for sale or anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we wanted to release, you know, our material at once and kind of say, you know, this is our, you know, kind of public debut as a
yeah.
band, you know, at least, you know, to the rest of the world who
right.
hasn't, you know, been to a local show or something to hear us play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us, that's pretty special to be able to say, you know, this is who we are. This is what we sound like. You know, it's only going to get better. We hope you become a fan.
Yeah. It's awesome. And you guys are going to put it up on Bandcamp, Reverb Nation,
everything.
iTunes. Awesome.
It's going up on everything. And as soon as it goes live, we will send out a mass, you know, social media blast. And I think we're going to, you know, get a couple of the, you know, local music promoters, you know, in town on board, you know,
awesome.
Try to get it to 91X and 94.9 and obviously City Beat
mm-hmm.
and you, of
yep.
course,
because
yep. You've been a wonderful asset in helping us, you know, get our band off the ground.
Appreciate that.
I'll take a basket of CDs to work.
Yeah.
Just hand them out to everyone.
Other thing is, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have it two ways. We're going to have it on our website, which is kidwilderness.com.
Okay.
And it'll be live streaming there.
Cool.
And we'll also have it for sale either on our website or, you know, iTunes and all everything like that. And it'll be 7 songs, which is the EP for $5.
Nice.
And that'll be the deal. It'll be there live streaming if you ever want to you know, go and listen to it. You know, like we said, we want people to hear it. We want
right.
people to hear the music. And share it with people. You know, we want this music to get
right.
into as many people's hands and heads as we can possibly, you know, make that happen. But at the same time, you know, this is something that we worked really hard on. And, you know, at any level that people want to support us and, you know, buy our music and, you know, support us in a financial way, you know, we would love that because
yeah.
that's, you know, what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
you know,
we're trying to grow,
right.
you know, and in order to grow, you have to be able to get some sort of finances from
of
what
course.
You're doing. And then from there, it means merch, means music video, means going on a West Coast tour.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. And then that's how you get more exposure is
right.
is getting that financial backbone that
right.
you're going to need to
right.
be able to get out of, at least out of San Diego.
Right.
Which is treating you guys pretty well, right?
San Diego
when
is treating
the music
us pretty
scene,
well.
Yeah,
yeah
so.
I'm a big fan of the music scene in San Diego, and until I started playing music in San Diego, had no idea that the music scene is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many venues.
Yeah, lots of venues.
I mean, there are days, you know, like where I'll send out, you know, booking requests, you know, to venues and, you know, I'll send out 20 and, you know, I'll realize that I'm only like a quarter of the way through my list. I'm just
wow.
like, whoa,
yeah,
dude,
it's a
that's
a lot of venues.
There's
in San
so
Diego.
Many places to play
yeah.
music and go see live music in San Diego. And I mean,
there's a tight network as well. I, you know, when you are a San Diego musician, you sort of know people and they know people and you end up there ends up being 3 degrees of separation between any one San Diego musician and another at the most.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It
yeah.
It's awesome. You know, there's a reason I haven't left the city. It's a great, it has treated us very well.
Yeah. And what I was telling Flags in last week's, which I like to just touch bases on real quick, is that I like that how San Diego, sometimes it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, but I like how San Diego, it has like a variety of music genres that you can kind of dig into.
Totally.
Like singer-songwriter, metal, small little hip-hop following. You got your surf rockers, your indie rockers, your psychedelic rockers, your actual true rock and rollers, or your California rockers,
right,
or garage rockers. So it's kind of nice. And then it's kind of nice to also see the community starting to come together and start making these bigger events, like 94.9 getting together with the Reader, the Reader getting together with all these breweries in town, and to promote local music, but also the local craft.
Right.
And I think we need more of that.
Totally.
That's my only issue, is that because the music scene is large, but yet small, because you have such a large city that has so many other venues or entities of other things, like art and beer and restaurants and SeaWorld and the zoo and
right,
baseball, football, you know. So it's just nice to see other entities coming into the music scene to make it even better.
Definitely.
To get the local scene more exposure.
Definitely.
And, but yeah, I love the music scene out here, and it's just nice just to go to a show and just seeing, like you said, like that girl from Soda Bar, when she posted on your Facebook or whatever it was. It's like you go to these shows and then all of a sudden you see a band you've never heard of or even seen before, and then they just blow your mind. It's like, wow, this is awesome. That's how I felt about Neighbors to the North when I first heard them. Was I just happened to be at a show after I interviewed them, of course, and then I was like, oh my gosh, like, these guys are really good. And then sometimes I get disappointed because I'll go to some of these shows and be like, man, there was only like 10 people. It should have been like 50, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it's just because there's so much going on, so many venues. But yeah, it's just, I feel like it could be better, and we could pack all these venues.
I agree with you, and I think that as San Diego is growing as a city, I think, you know, so too will its music, you know,
yeah,
scene, and just kind of, you know, local cultural support. And I mean, you know, we see it happening already.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, the fact that, you know, more music venues are opening up, and you know, that the North Park Theater just
yep,
kind of revamped its image and became this huge music venue,
yeah,
for, you know, nationally touring acts,
mm-hmm,
and not just, you know, like local bands,
yeah,
like us anymore. That's a really good indication.
That is, yeah.
Because, I mean, the more nationally touring acts that come through San Diego, the more chances, you know, that local bands like us have the opportunity to open up for them,
right,
and then, you
exactly,
know, ride their coattails and start, you know, doing a circuit like they did and kind of break into that industry,
yeah,
the same way. And I think, you know, San Diego has the potential to be, you know, kind of a real music scene if it wants to be.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
I think that, you know, it's going to take, you know, what we've been doing as musicians, what you're doing, as an artist, to, you know, promote music,
yeah,
and the music scene. And of course, you know, the fans that come out and enjoy seeing the live music.
Totally. You know, San Diego's a powder keg right now. It's exciting to be in the midst of all this exciting stuff happening.
Yeah, totally agree.
No, I said
and
exciting
like
twice,
you said, it's like you said, Danny, like, as the city gets bigger, I feel like even the local communities are going to obviously get bigger as well, you know?
Totally.
Because city gets bigger, bringing bigger acts, local, that means more local bands can get a bigger exposure to those touring acts and stuff like that. So I feel like we're up on an uphill when it comes to like the local scene, at least, and I'm very grateful for that. And I guess with that being said, that's a good way to end it. The music scene, it rocks here in San Diego, pretty much.
It's a good time.
The music scene in San Diego is awesome, and we're stoked to be a part of it, and we're stoked that you've taken an interest in us and
absolutely
kind of singled us out as someone in the music scene here to watch. So
to watch, definitely watch.
We appreciate your support, and you know, shout out to everyone that listens to the Nardcast.
Yeah.
We ask that you please do us a favor and keep Kid Wilderness on your lips. Tell your friends, tell everyone you know, tell them about the Nardcast.
Yeah.
Spread the word, spread the love, and we really appreciate you, Jannard, having us tonight. And
I really
thank you,
yeah,
very much.
I'm really glad we finally got this done. Like, I've been trying to get you guys on. I've been trying to produce videos for you guys. I know I'm behind right now, and I got other bands trying to get on the Nardacoustics, the Music Uncut, but it's just a lot, because this is like a hobby for me, kind of, right, you know, right. And I love doing this. So
that's all
so,
good, man.
You know, so I'm definitely gonna get that. That what was the song that we did for Narcissus that I'm still working on?
It was called.
We did two. We did. Yeah. We did.
Too many times, which is up on
yeah,
your
already on the YouTube.
It's up on YouTube.
And the other one was "It's All in Your Head."
Okay.
No, it was not.
Never mind.
It was "Arm and a Leg."
Okay.
Was "Arm and a Leg"? Yeah, was the other song that we did.
Was it really?
It was.
Okay. That was like it a 5-minute song. Yeah. Or like that. Yeah.
Yeah. "Arm and a Leg" was the other one, which is also going to be too. It, which is also going to be on the EP.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear that one because that's some harmony in that one.
Yeah.
That one is one of our most auspiciously Kid Wilderness songs. We've got some tricks up our sleeve. Whoever is waiting to for that to come out, be excited. Get ready. That one in particular, we're throwing some curveballs.
That's what's up, man. So, Kinder Walden.
Release date to be announced. Expect it sometime around the end of March.
Okay. And then also with the release, there should be a show, hopefully. You guys are still looking on that?
There will be a show. We are looking into setting it up right now. We're in talks with a couple of the local spots that we typically haunt. We'd love for it to be, a spot that we've played a couple of times that kind of feels like home for us. But, obviously, we don't ever turn down a show to the extent that we can help it.
I feel like you guys should do your CD release at 710 Beach Club.
It's probably going to happen because
that's your home base
that's right, if the past is any indication. But that being said, we know that PB isn't everyone's favorite place to go see a show, so we might branch out and try to do it at somewhere that's a little bit more central.
Yeah.
That's easy for everyone to get to. Like maybe somewhere here in North Park or even, the Casbah, if we're lucky enough to, book another show there.
That'd be cool.
That
was awesome because you guys played over there That was another perk for winning the 2014.
We got to headline the Casbah, which was unreal.
Tim Hiles was hanging out there. He is a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tim
just in
is
general,
Tim is a great guy.
Yeah,
he drew
busy,
a crowd
man.
Of his own, and
he's
a busy,
busy
dude. He's very passionate about the local music scene.
Yeah,
and that's awesome to see people like him involved with the local community.
We're stoked to have made his acquaintance, and
he's such a nice guy too. Yeah. He is very down to earth. He's funny. He made us laugh and cry. Just an all-around class act.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. So would you say Casbah was probably one of your favorite venues that you played at?
It was 100% my favorite venue that we've played at thus far.
It's one of our
favorites.
It's
such a landmark. It's a historic landmark for San Diego. Yeah.
And, we were all so jazzed up for that show. I think it helped kind of elevate what we were bringing to the table that night for sure. We've played other shows. We love our guys at 710. John and Peter and Brian who run that place have just been nothing but so cool to us. And obviously our show at the Soda Bar last week was super cool. That's a really fun venue that we look forward to playing
again. That was a blessing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of venues that we've played that we haven't liked.
Right, right. There's always one that might stand out over others, of course.
And being that we're musicians and in this music business, it's not our business to say who we don't get along with.
Right, right, right.
But, there are definitely favorites of ours, and the Casbah is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I bet. I can only imagine. That's cool. So, all right. We're going to expect an EP, hopefully by the end of March.
Yep.
And maybe a CD release party.
Yeah, definitely.
And what about the EP? Are you guys going to maybe try to promote a single on that one, do a music video?
We might do a music video with our buddy Connor Murphy.
Oh, nice.
He's been talking to us about
one. Creative Murph in the building. Big shout out to Connor.
Big shout out to Connor Murphy. He's been one of my good friends and one of Riley's friends for a long time.
Awesome.
And, being that he's another local San Diego artist, so we're all about keeping it in that San Diego artist family.
That's awesome.
And so yes, we will definitely try to do some kind of music video to accompany that.
That's cool. And hopefully he'll need a producer and I can help him produce that one.
Word.
So that'd be great. Yes.
All right.
All right. So I guess we'll play Hey Little Girl by which is the single that you guys recorded over at Southwestern College.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them. And Tim and Danny, man, I really appreciate you guys being on the show. Episode 166.
Please, Jannard, thanks for having us.
Thank you. We are forever in your debt.
Awesome. Awesome. And you guys have any like final words? Any shout outs to the ladies or shout outs to...
Yeah, what? Shout out to my girlfriend, Haley.
All right. Big
Love
shout
you,
out.
Sweetie.
Shout out to Danny's girlfriend, Haley. you know, you're an awesome friend of me.
Shout out to our other two band members,
yes,
of course.
Shout out to Kevin and Riley. We are very bummed you couldn't make it, but we love you guys.
All right. Is that it?
That's it. That's all the love we got.
Well, that wraps it up. Well, before I go, I want to just mention that be on the lookout for my new podcast. It's called It's called The Holiday Special, sorry. And that's just a talk show. I just talk about a bunch of stuff. I invite people over and we talk about topics, whether it's relationships, whether it's whatever. And it's like a therapy session. It's like a 1 hour therapy session. We all like get together, we talk about stuff, but we base our content around a national holiday.
I like that.
Kind of like
that's cool.
If it's like National Coffee Day or National Donut Day, we'll go down to Donut Bar,
dude,
and
yes,
do the podcast there.
So Donut
that
Bar.
That is bitchin'.
Yeah, big shout out to Donut Bar downtown.
Oh man.
But anyway, be on the lookout for that. And also I'm gonna be releasing a new video series called Behind the Stick. So stay tuned for that in April with Corey of Table Number 10. And then other than that, just keep listening to good music. And here's a song here called Hey Little Girl by Kid Wilderness. And we are out. Peace.